This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Election Day is finally here, and the presidential candidates have made last pitches. Vice President Harris conjured images of Rocky at the Philadelphia Museum of Art.
Here at these famous steps, a tribute to those who start as the underdog and climb to victory.
Correspondent Weijia Jiang.
Harris storming the state with five strategic stops, hoping to maintain that edge, like Scranton, where Biden was born and raised, hoping support for him will transfer. She also visited Allentown and Reading, home to nearly 67,000 Puerto Ricans.
Former President Donald Trump held one last rally as a candidate late last night in Michigan.
As your president, I will fight for you every single day with every breath in my body.
Correspondent Caitlin Huey Burns from Grand Rapids.
His closing argument, leaning heavily into the dark immigration rhetoric that's been a staple of his campaign, unveiling a new proposed tariff against Mexico. Trump campaign officials are encouraged by the number of their voters turning out early this cycle across the battleground states.
Podcaster Joe Rogan's endorsed the former president and recommended his 14.5 million Spotify followers do the same. A split decision in tiny Dixville Notch, New Hampshire.
3 for Kamala Harris, and 3 for Donald Trump.
Polling station there opened at midnight. Control of Congress also on the ballot today. CBS's Michael Toscano.
American University political scientist Amy Dacey says Democrats' two-seat edge is in jeopardy.
19 Democrats up for re-election as opposed to only 10 Republicans.
Republican Governor Jim Justice is widely expected to pick up the seat being vacated by retiring Democrat-turned-independent Joe Manchin. Montana's race between Democratic Senator John Tester and Republican challenger Tim Sheehy is also seen as a likely Republican pickup.
Strike over at Boeing.
Yeah.
Machinists in Seattle celebrating after 59% voted in favor of ending their nearly two-month-old strike. CBS's Chris Van Cleve says it could be a while until the plane maker returns to business as usual.
They don't have to be back until next week, and it may take several more days, even a couple of weeks, to get production back up and running.
The Chiefs have extended their winning streak.
Touchdown! Kansas City remains unbeaten.
They're now 8-0 after topping Tampa Bay 30-24 in OT on ESPN. Quarterback Patrick Mahomes finished the game despite injuring his left ankle in the fourth quarter. S&P futures up 11. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
The Bucks' losing streak continues. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks lost in the final minute to the Cleveland Cavaliers, 116-114. Giannis out with a groin injury. The Bucks have now lost six games in a row. After the loss, Doc Rivers asked, "How do you keep the players positive when you're 1-6?
I think the team's very positive. I think they're upbeat. No one wants to lose. We got some tough games coming up. We win 3 or 4 in a row, and then if you're 5-6, you have an 80% chance to make the playoffs.
Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers won their home opener over Holy Cross, 85-61. They'll host Montana State Thursday. NFL, the Packers' Matt LaFleur on what he and his coaching staff will be doing during the team's bye week.
A lot of times it gets a little overblown. I mean, we're always on top of the self-scout and what we got to do and what people are seeing. We'll get a good jump start just with today, the ability to watch tape really from anywhere. So I'm going to let the staff get out of here and just do everything on their own.
That's Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment feed, I'm Pete Schwabba. Martha Stewart might be dealing with a hangover due to her displeasure with her biopic Martha on Netflix. While promoting her new cookbook during an appearance on a game show similar to Family Feud, she took a shot at Ryan Reynolds. When asked which actors she would like to hang out with in real life, she listed George Clooney, her pal Snoop Dogg, and Brad Pitt, but made a point to say Ryan Reynolds is not funny in real life, adding that he is very serious. She also acknowledged her comments might not go over so well since the two are neighbors in real life. Despite the final season of Succession bringing Kieran Culkin his first Golden Globe Award, the actor has still not seen the series finale. In a recent appearance on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, Culkin said he missed it because he was in Poland filming a movie and then went right to a vacation with his family. The actor told Colbert he knows what happens, but just sort of missed his chance. If only there was a way he could still watch it. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be cloudy and breezy with rain likely today. We could end up with a quarter to a half inch or more by the time it winds down this evening. High today in the low 50s. The wind will be northeast at 15 to 25. Tonight, 37. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 50 by Thursday, sunshine with a high of 53. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday morning, we broadcast from Madison with Deborah Kronmiller from the League of Women Voters and Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski as we kick off Election Day in Wisconsin.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who thinks outside the box and hates cliches, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to hour number two. Our question tonight: what have you been doing to keep your mind off the election? Folks, we are in the home stretch. It's almost over. We try to take your mind off the election every night here at Nightlight, talking about movies and TV and music and comedy and the things that bring us together and make us laugh. But what have you been doing in your personal life? That's the question. You can text us and let us know at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know. Coming up at 7:20, musician Eric Chellin plays in the studio from The Mascot Theory. That'll be fun. Right now, I'm very excited to welcome my next guest. You guys probably know him for a couple, two or three roles. I've been following this guy literally since the early 80s, and I just think he's terrific. So I was thrilled when he decided to make himself available for the show tonight. Actor John Grise joins me. John, how are you?
Hi, how's it going?
It's going very well.
How does it feel to get a question with a question? You asked me how I was, and I immediately asked you how you were. So, yeah, we're starting off on a great foot. Yeah, I'm doing great. Thanks so much. How are you doing?
It's good. I just thought that was like an acting technique or something. That's okay. You can just say whatever you feel comfortable saying. It's totally fine. It is great to have you. You have a great event coming up in Madison this Saturday night at the Barrymore Theater, Napoleon Dynamite Live. For those of you listening, John was Uncle Rico in Napoleon Dynamite, just an absolute treasure of a movie. Can you tell us a little bit about the event this Saturday?
Well, you know, this has been something that we've been doing now for a few years, probably with the exception of the time during the pandemic. But we show the film, and then afterwards we have like an interactive show with the audience. We get on stage, but we're not like just sitting up there, you know, polishing our nails on our lapels, you know, like, oh yes, we were in this amazing movie, and you're just lucky to be here with us. No, we're equally fans of this film, and we get out in the crowd, we hang out with people, we have reenactments. Scene reenactments with audience members. We have like trivia questions. It's like an event. We play a little bit of music. We have a really great time. We are truly, we don't consider ourselves any different other than the fact that we're in the movie, but we are true fans of this film and what this film still amazingly 20 years later seems to engender. It's a very positive experience, obviously.
It's great. My kids loved it. I loved it. I went to see it at the Sunset 5 when it came out in L.A. And then when my kids were born, they watched it over and over and over. And how did you get involved with the film? Like, did they approach you? Did you see it and want to audition for it? How did that happen?
Oh, no, I knew absolutely nothing about this film. It's an interesting story because they made offers to a lot of people. One of them being, which I think is just fascinating as all get out, is Christopher Walken to play Uncle Rico. Could you imagine him? Deb, you have such The idea of it makes me very giddy. I mean, it makes me laugh so hard. So, no, but because these guys didn't have any track record and they were very young, and agents in Hollywood, I'm sure you have an idea. They're just, you know, it's like a firewall between, people making films and the clients or the talent that they represent. And, you know, I was the low-hanging fruit. You know, it was like, this guy's available. I mean, you know, all these other people, Walton Goggins and Christopher Walken, and they've all turned it down.
Wow.
Truly. But actually, it's funny. Walton is a friend of mine, and he said, you know, I loved you so much in that movie, and I got to tell you, I actually agreed to do the movie and then realized I couldn't do it. I was doing another project, and I had to call up and bow out. The filmmakers from Napoleon had a definite inside track getting to some high-level talent. But the problem is either people were, you know, busy or whatever. And as they were getting closer to the start date, Jory Weitz, the casting director, had put me in another film called The Big Empty with Jon Favreau. And they happened to be using the offices of, you know, the editing room of The Big Empty when they were trying to cast Napoleon Dynamite. And he said, let's look at this guy's footage on this movie and maybe you might like it. And they watched my stuff and they said, let's make an offer. And that was pretty much it.
Oh, that is so cool. It's like you're listing all these other great actors, and they're great, and they would have done a good job too, I'm sure. But
they killed it. It would have been amazing.
Yeah, but it's like you're him now. It's just there's no one else that could do it because you just crushed it and made it your own. And I think that's
Thank
fantastic.
You.
So you're welcome. Can you talk? Okay, so the first two films I saw you in, John, where I actually noticed you and I was like, oh, this guy's great. You were in Real Genius, real quirky part.
Yes.
And then you were in a movie called Running Scared.
As a
younger cop playing off Billy Crystal and Gregory Hines. Really fun movie, actually, if people haven't seen it.
Stephen Bauer. Stephen Bauer and I were partners in that. We played partners.
Yes.
You know who else was that? It was Jimmy... Smith and Joey Pantoliano. Yeah. There was a lot of people in that movie.
Joey Pants. I was late to a meeting with him once. It did not go well. I'm still ashamed of myself because he honest to God, he has no bigger fan than me. And the guy who played the police chief too is great too. I can't think of his name right now.
Dan.
He played Nick. Yeah. It was just a great cast. But can you talk a little bit about those two roles? They're such great roles. And again, they look like you just crushed those and had so much fun with it.
You know, I mean, thank you so much. Real Genius, originally when they called me to play the part of Kent.
Wow, really? I can't see that.
And I know, when I was early in my career, I got hired to play. They kept thinking, well, he's not good looking enough to be the good guy. So he's probably good looking enough to be the bad guy. Of course, I couldn't get on soap operas because they're like, nah, he ain't even good looking enough to be the bad guy.
They say that to people. Isn't that crazy?
Oh,
it's
yeah,
horrible.
They do. Oh, yeah. You've got to have some pretty thick skin. And Robert Prescott, who ended up playing Kent, was so brilliant in that role that you say you can't imagine anybody else playing Uncle Rico. I could never imagine anybody else playing Kent but Robert Prescott. He's such a wonderful actor. So Real Genius, I called my agent when I got the audition. And they sent me the script, and I called him, and I said, I want to read for Laszlo. And he was like, what are you talking about? They called you to read for Kent. They probably have other ideas for Laszlo. I know, but I the role is speaking to me, and I got to try that. I'd rather go down on that one and in flames than go down in flames on doing this one, because that's not the one I want to do. This is the one I want to do. So... he called them and they said, okay, sure. He wants to read for that. Come on in. And he's too young for it because it was written in the script that he was like 45 years old, you know? And they kept calling me back, you know, they made me come back like four or five times. And then I finally got the job, and it was a life-changing experience for me, truly. I mean, yeah. Before that, I was working construction, you know, as well as acting from time to time and something here and there. But after that movie, yeah, I was you know, on my way. Running Scared was a funny story because I went in to meet with Peter Hyams, and he sat there, and we had a great discussion. Now, meanwhile, sitting out in the waiting room is David Caruso and Ray Liotta to read or to talk to him about the same part, right?
Oh, wow.
But Peter Hyams and I sit, and we gab for, I'm not kidding, an hour. And they're out there waiting. I'm sure they're getting angry as all get out. And then Peter looks at me, and he goes, John, I love you, but I don't know you. I don't know your work. What have you done? And at that time, I had finished shooting Real Genius, but it wasn't done yet. But it turns out the old Sony lot where Peter Hyams' office was the MGM lot at the time. And they were cutting Real Genius on the MGM lot. So I went home. And I called the editor, a guy named Richard Chu, who was very famous because he edited Star Wars. I said, "Hey, Richard, my name's John Grise." And he goes, "Oh my God, I love you in this movie, Real Genius, that I'm cutting." And I said, "That's why I'm calling you. I want to see if I can get a screening room on the lot this like coming week. Do you think you could put the scenes together for Peter Hyams?" He goes, "Don't worry about it. I'll put the scenes. I'll put three great scenes together." Man. I said, "Thank you so much." And then I called the studio operations and I said, "Peter Hyams would like the Cary Grant screening room at a Friday at 11 a.m. And they were like, "Okay, Peter Hyams." You know, like I was just I ordered the room, and then I called Peter's office and I said, "Yeah, the and you know, have a projectionist there." And then I called his office and I said, "Yes, 11 a.m. the Cary Grant screening room, right?" And sure enough, Peter Hyams comes in, sits down, he watches my scenes, he calls me, he goes, and I was just leaving the country to go to Italy to shoot something, and he goes, "You got the job. When you come back, we're going to make a movie together." And that was it. And then later on, while we were shooting, because he was also the producer of the film, he walks up to me and while we're eating lunch, and he sits down, and he drops a piece of paper in front of me, and he says, "Did you rent the Cary Grant screening room on my dime?" I started laughing and said, "Yes." And he said, "Good for you. Good for you." And picked up the piece of paper and walked away.
Oh, that's terrific. Wow.
It required a little bit of hustle. You know, you had to hustle a little bit.
Yeah.
You couldn't just,
be proactive. Right.
Absolutely.
John, we have about a minute left. I had so many questions for you, and I wanted to ask you about White Lotus, but I know you're a busy guy, and I tell me in about 30 seconds, this Saturday, such a great night. You played Uncle Rico. You're going to be there. People should go see you in Madison, Napoleon Dynamite Live. Are you looking forward to it?
Oh, I'm telling you something. We have such a great time. We love having this exchange with the audience. We don't turn out the lights in the theater. The lights are on, man. We're all together in this, and it's a great time. It really is a great time. And we have giveaways, and you know that it's just a lot of fun. It's beautifully janky and really really loose and really a lot of fun.
I love it. Check them out this Saturday, John Grise. Thank you so much, buddy. Crush it this Saturday. It's great to meet you.
Yeah, so nice to meet you. And anytime.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Finding the special healthcare resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special healthcare needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions. Get answers. Connect today toll-free, 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Election night is unlikely to be results night.
Irresponsible candidates may exploit an extended time to declare a winner and say there's something illicit about the process. In fact, it's our patriotic friends and neighbors who serve as poll workers taking the time needed to get it right. Mail-in ballots require extra steps for election officials as the ballots are checked in, outer envelopes opened, and identification documents verified. During 2020, folds in mail ballots slowed the tabulation process. New rules streamlined the processing in some states, allowing mail ballots to be processed before Election Day. But in some states, more layers of ID have been added, and counting can't take place until after Election Day. There are also likely to be more challenges to voter eligibility from partisan poll watchers, a voter suppression tactic expanded by some state legislatures under the guise of election integrity. Addressing challenges consumes election officials' time. Close races may also trigger an automatic recount, or a candidate may request a recount. These generally take place after election night, but delay the results, often for days. Such recounts generally start with a second run through a tabulator, then a hand count if necessary. We need to give the checks and balances of our system the time to work, supported by our heroic poll workers. Find out more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Oh, you've been on the fast train, and it's going off the rail. And you can't come back, can't come back again.
Welcome back. And you start breaking down. Our question tonight is getting a lot of answers, and it's how are you keeping your mind off the election? The end is in sight, folks. It's tomorrow. Life hopefully will go back to normal on some level. But we've gotten a lot of texts from people from golfing. Cindy says she already voted. 608 says I have a plan. From the 626 voted blue and no already. Okay. Len says, Len from Madison says, thanks, but I voted early on Friday in anticipation of a rainy forecast for Election Day. I think that's why a lot of people vote early. Jack from Merrimack says, already voted early. Thursday, 10/24. That is early. I voted early as well. From the 715, voted early, already voted. Leave me alone, says the 503. Those texts are going to keep coming, though. Brian from the 323 says, no. Okay. That's okay. You kind of can't get away from it anyway. The commercials are everywhere. And then the 563 says voted early. Daddy-O from Windsor says already did. Ross from Crawford County says strum the guitar. I guess Ross wants us to get to our next guest. Tom from Wausau says it is. I haven't heard anything about it. Yeah, it's really not. You have to do anything. It's out there. Rob from Tigerton says, campaign. It's the first time I ever took part in a campaign. It's been fun and exciting meeting people. Rob also says, I will be voting in Germania Town Hall. I hope I'm saying that right. I will be voting tomorrow morning, tomorrow night. I'm going to be listening. I'm going to Kristen Lyerly's party in Appleton. Dr. Lyerly, a friend of Civic Media. That's great. Charles from Milwaukee says, voted already. All right, we'll get to some more of these. I got to introduce our next guest. I'm so thrilled to have this guy in the studio because I am familiar with his work. I feel like I know him already, thanks to our friend Terry Barr, who is one of the co-hosts of Max Inc. Radio. She's brought this next artist's music onto Nightlight more than once, so it is a thrill for me to have him in the studio here in Madison. Eric Chellin joins me from the Mascot Theory. How you doing, buddy?
I'm awesome. Thanks so much for having me.
This is great. I'm so glad it worked out. You're a Madison guy, right?
Yes,
or in
absolutely.
The area?
Yep, Madison.
Direct. Okay.
Yep.
Well, it's great. I'm so glad this worked out. I feel like I know your music. You brought this really cool. I didn't know people still did this.
It's a double vinyl album.
I'm holding it up in the stream here, if you can see it. The Mascot Theory, double vinyl.
Yep. Pressed on orange marble vinyl. So super hip, super cool.
That's like some serious Buku Dolores you're putting
We wanted to make
spare
it special.
No expense.
We wanted
yeah,
to make
I guess
it special,
so.
And vinyl is hip again.
It's excellent. Thank you very much. I do have I got to break it out, though. I haven't used it in a while, but I kept it
perfect.
Because I know vinyl is like all the rage right now.
Yeah.
I love the sound of it. So thank you very much. It's great to have you here. So how are you? How are things going?
Fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, we put that album out back in May. I think we talked around that time. I think it was the first time we talked via Zoom or something. Not in person. That's right. Like this one.
That's right.
And so we've just been playing shows, you know, to get that music out here, and now we're getting to Flannel Fest time.
Yeah. Oh, we'll talk about that too. Yeah, I've got a ton of questions for you. You're going to play a couple tunes. I'm so excited about that too. Tell me about Mascot Theory. How did you guys form? It's you, Paul Metz, Nick Fry. How did you guys get together and how did the band form?
Yeah. And then, so that's the core of the band from that goes back 13 years, I think. Roughly.
Wow.
It's about that, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's about 13 years. And it was really an accident. Nick and I were in a band. And we were doing the bar band thing. We were
nice
getting done at 3:30 in the morning and then
packing up your stuff
and then getting home really late and the sun's coming up. But then also at that same kind of time towards the end of that band, I had kids. So we're like, this isn't working anymore. Going home and having to get up and, or stay up with the babies.
Yeah.
Or whatever. It just wasn't working. So the bar band thing wasn't working. So I was like, I'm going to just only do coffee houses, wineries, whatever. Huh. I need to be able to get home by 10, be done by 10. And then this band accidentally formed out of that, basically. We had I had a little duo gig that I was playing in a coffee shop not too far from here, and my friend couldn't make it. So I was just like, hey, Nick, you've got this other band going right now down in Freeport area. And I said, why don't you bring your band up? You know, our bands had played together before, so I knew some of those guys. So I'm like, come on up, and we'll just kind of sit in together. I know some of your songs, and you heard some of my songs. Let's just kind of play together and see what happens for this one-off gig. And 13 years later, it never stopped. We started singing together and harmonizing, and it just became something really special. And we're just like, okay. And we still try to get done before 10 o'clock sometimes, but it's a whole different focus on this band where it's just like, this is just original music. We're going to do what we can with this original music and just go from there.
How did that go over? Like, You played the bar band scene. You did that. I would think those people want to hear music. They have a couple drinks. They want to hear. Then you go to coffee shops. Yeah. What kind of response did you get then? Was it discouraging or encouraging, or what was that like?
Way more focused. You know, I think there was more. The type that we were playing were kind of special shows that we were kind of going and playing where they had consistent musicians coming into play.
Yeah.
So it was definitely more. We're here to sit and listen and watch. And that music that I was playing then was a lot more mellow, a lot more melodic and just softer. And I went back to acoustic guitar and I hadn't done that in a while. So it was definitely a softer kind of thing. And so it goes over really well, very different than the bar band thing. And the bar band thing was, we still did original music. I've always been interested in songwriting and recording. So we always had albums. So it was always sprinkled in, but that was always a lot more covers, and then you slip in an original song. With the Mascot Theory, it's very rare if we do a cover song, and still, we started doing some covers, but then as we sort of became this real band, it kind of turned into, hey, I've got some songs you want to go record as a band, and I guess that would make us an official band if we actually recorded.
Absolutely, yeah.
So we went and did the first album in 2012, and then never stopped. And then we added a few years ago, coming out of the pandemic, we added Corey Swadley on guitar, and he's all over this new album. He's just the most incredible guitar player. And then we added a keyboard player, Brandon Jensen, as well. So we're a five-piece now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So where does the name come from? How'd you come up with Mascot Theory?
It's basically, so when I worked at a print shop downtown here, on the other side of the square, I worked here for about 16 years, and we always would have like the NCAA brackets.
Yeah,
we put out the I don't know if they're illegal or not, but we would put those little brackets, maybe throw $5 or something down on it, and you know, you pick your winner, and a friend of mine, co-worker that I worked with, he would pick his based on which mascots would have won in a fight. And so and he and I also had this list of what we would call, hey, that's a funny band name, let's write that down. So when we were talking about his horrible way, it never won ever, because it was,
hey,
crazy.
I'm gonna stop here. Yeah. Can we pick up right there after a break? All right, we gotta do some quick news here at Civic Media, and we'll be right back. I'm so thrilled. Eric is here from the Mascot Theory, and he's gonna play for us next after Civic Media's award-winning news. This is Pete Schwab at Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. Election day is finally here, and the presidential candidates have made their last pitches to voters going to polls today to decide a razor-thin race. Vice President Harris at the famous Rocky Steps in Philadelphia.
One more day, just one more day in the most consequential election of our lifetime. And the momentum is on our side.
Former President Donald Trump held his last rally late last night in Grand Rapids.
Over the past 4 years, Americans have suffered one catastrophic failure, betrayal, and humiliation after another.
Boeing machinists have voted to accept the plane maker's latest offer and bring an end to their nearly two-month-old strike. Union President John Holden.
I'm proud of this membership. You can be proud of yourselves as well. You stood strong and you stood tall and you won. This is a victory.
It includes a 38% pay raise over 4 years, does not reinstate pension benefits. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Bucks losing streak continues. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks lost in the final minute to the Cleveland Cavaliers, 116-114. Giannis out with a groin injury. The Bucks have now lost six games in a row. After the loss, Doc Rivers asked, "How do you keep the players positive when you're 1-6?
I think the team's very positive. I think they're upbeat. No one wants to lose. We got some tough games coming up. We win three or four in a row, and then if you're 5-6, you have an 80% chance to make the playoffs.
Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers won their home opener over Holy Cross, 85-61. They'll host Montana State Thursday. NFL, the Packers' Matt LaFleur on what he and his coaching staff will be doing during the team's bye week.
A lot of times it gets a little overblown. I mean, we're always on top of the self-scout and what we got to do and what people are seeing. We'll get a good jump start just with today, the ability to watch tape really from anywhere. So I'm going to let the staff get out of here and just do everything on their own.
That's Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Barbenheimer 2.0 is just around the corner with films Gladiator 2 and Wicked kicking off the holiday box office season in a couple weeks. However, last weekend's box office did not impress. The movie Here, starring Tom Hanks, Robin Wright, and directed by Robert Zemeckis, landed with a thud on opening weekend. Here did not review particularly well, and audience approval is hovering at around 60%. The film whiffed big time with only a $5 million opening weekend, which landed it in fifth place overall. Repeating as box office champ following its opening weekend is Venom: The Last Dance. The third and final chapter of DC's Venom franchise took in $26 million domestically. Rounding out the top five are The Wild Robot in second place, Smile 2 at number three, and Conclave at number four. Another disappointment at the box office was Liam Neeson's new action film Absolution, which finished in 12th place, barely cracking $1 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be cloudy and breezy with rain likely today. We could end up with a quarter to a half inch or more by the time it winds down this evening. High today in the low 50s. The wind will be northeast at 15 to 25. Tonight, 37. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 50. By Thursday, sunshine with a high of 53. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Matt Flynn joining us. This is a text off the text line. Quote, "I'm dreading that it's a little too late. The last few weeks of polls are extremely bleak.
This is not the time to get wobbly. The polls right now still show her in the lead between 2 to 3 points. She used to be ahead by 5 points. So what?"
Charles Franklin at Marquette Law School says polls don't vote. People do. Have a plan. Be a voter, Matt.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, special election coverage overtime with Maggie Dom plus former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. And stick around for special Civic Media election night coverage. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right, we are back here at hour number two, the fourth quadrant, actually, of Nightlight. We've had a great time tonight talking to the legendary John Legend, TV writer Mike Rowe, and John Grise, who played Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite. Big event happening at the Barrymore Theater this Saturday, November 9th. Check it out, Napoleon Dynamite Live. Napoleon himself will be there. John will be there. It's going to be a great event. Right now, I am so thrilled. I've got Eric Gelland here from The Mascot Theory. He's talking to us in studio here as we broadcast from Madison tonight. And he brought his guitar. So you are, that's a beautiful guitar, by the way. You were in the middle of telling a story. We have to hit these hard breaks here, and I had to kind of cut you off, and I apologize. But you're talking about how you came up with the name Mascot Theory.
Yeah, so it was my buddy, you know, with the NCAA brackets. He had his theory of I'm going to pick these teams to win based off of which mascot would fight. We thought it was a funny name, like the Mascot Theory. It's cool. So we added it to our list of band names, of random band names. And when we had this little duo show, or makeshift show with these guys, I'm like, I'm just gonna toss a name on there just for kicks. And so I grabbed that one. It was kind of one of my favorites on there. And then, you know, again, we stuck around for another 13 years
so later. Yeah.
But mainly, you know, themascottheory.com was open. So we took that domain name, and that was it.
Love it.
There you go.
That's great. All right. So you're gonna perform something from us. Is this off of the new record? Or?
This is an older one.
Oh, okay.
I could do something off of that.
Listen, this is your dime, your dance floor, whatever.
So I almost never play solo. Like, almost never.
Okay.
I love playing with the band, so I was like, what song?
I got a kazoo in
to?
The car. Do you, want me to go out and grab it?
Yeah, I mean, I got harmonicas. We can
turn this into an actual
stuff,
freak
right?
show if you
do
get
it.
A kazoo. Yeah.
So this
whatever,
song is,
whatever you want. Yeah.
Sure. This song is called First Summer Breeze.
Cool.
To divide all the glitter in this world from the wreckage on the shoreline. These days, not much to celebrate. We build walls and we fortify the gates. There's corruption on the street, distrust between the sheets. And we've been through it all. Yeah, we've seen it all. Every chain can be broken, and every door that is shut can be open. Here comes the relief. Oh, it's riding on the back of a breeze. And it's covering you, and it's preaching to me. It's the first summer breeze. Times we all lose control. One wrong step can leave you in a hole filled with anger and disgrace. Failure painted on your face. Dreaming, driving through the snow. I see no lines upon the road. There's a pile up on the interstate. Hope I'm alive when I wake up. It's snowing. Every word and every warning, yeah, and every breath that you create in the morning, here comes the relief. Oh, oh, it's riding on the back of a breeze, and oh, 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 it's covering you, and it's preaching to me. It's the first. Every life has a purpose. Yeah, even a sinner like me don't feel that they deserve it. Here comes the relief. Oh, oh, it's riding on the back of a breeze. This the first summer breeze. Yes, the first summer breeze.
Casper, what do you think about that? Chris Casper got a thumbs up.
That was fantastic.
That was awesome.
Thank you.
First Summer Breeze. So that's an older song?
Yeah, I think that came out in 2015, I believe.
Oh, wow, nice.
I actually wrote that for a songwriting competition that I did on another radio station. They had a big, I think it lasted like a month or 2 months, and I ended up winning it. And that was one of the songs that I wrote during that competition. So, and that's always been one of my favorites.
That was First Summer Breeze by Eric Jelland from Mascot Theory, who is live with me in studio. So great to have you here. So tell us about Flannel Fest.
Sure. So Flannel Fest is an event that my friend Beth Killey from the Beth Killey Band, she and I put this together. And we've been doing this for 11 years now in the Madison area. And then I think maybe 6 or 7 years ago, we went up to Appleton and started doing it up there as well. So we do a two-show weekend, and this is happening next weekend. So on 11/15th, on Friday, we're going to be at Tanner's Grill and Bar in Kimberly, Wisconsin. And then the next night, we're going to be doing this whole event again in Madison at the Barrymore Theater. That's 11/16. And we've got four bands. So the Mascot Theory is going to be there. Shocker. That's me. And then Beth Killey Band. We've been doing our bands every year for this. And then we've got two headliners, national headliners. We've got the Old 97s, and we've got Blitz and Trapper. Blitz and Trapper is like one of my all-time favorite bands.
Yeah.
So I'm super excited to share the stage with them.
You kind of put this together?
What's that?
Are you the one that kind of put this together?
Beth and I did.
Wow,
yeah,
very nice. This.
And it's all a fundraiser. It's all a charity fundraiser for the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund. We've been doing this for years. We've raised over $130,000 for them and making sure our Wisconsin neighbors in need are safe in their homes, that their electricity's not shut off, and to make sure their heat's on. You know, just crucial things that we take for granted, making sure that those basic necessities are taken care of for our friends in need.
Very nice. Yeah. That's so great. All right, so... like Eric just said, Friday, November 15th at Tanner's Grill and Bar in Kimberly, Wisconsin. Saturday, the next night, November 16th, here at the Barrymore Theater. So you can go see Napoleon Dynamite live this Saturday, and then next Saturday, check out Flannel Fest here in Madison. That's fantastic. So do you write most of the songs, or is it a collaborative effort?
Yeah, I write all the songs for the Mascot Theory, and then we bring them to the band, and then we can put their flavor on it and let them trust them with all their ridiculous talent, and we just... work them up as full band versions. And like I said, I don't play often like this. So it's mostly the versions with the full band that we're working on getting out there.
You worked with a producer called Terry Manning.
Yes.
Who has produced Led Zeppelin. I guess you guys went down to Texas. It was like this big deal.
Yeah.
How is that?
Amazing.
What were you intimidated or what does a producer like that bring to a record? You've got the song. What does a good producer do to take it to the next level?
It can be so many different things, and it really just depends on the person. And we had no idea going into it what was going to happen, because we've never worked with somebody like that caliber before, and that kind of a discography that they've worked on. And so certainly we were nervous, but we were definitely well-prepared. We had these songs rehearsed, well-rehearsed many times. We played a lot of them live, so we knew what we were doing. Now, we didn't know if we were going to get down there, and the producer would be like, you know, Terry would be like, cool, now let's try it as a ballad or something completely different.
Right.
We weren't expecting that was going to happen, but we were ready for it just in case.
Yeah.
But it didn't happen. He loved the versions that we had, and his goal for this album was to make it sound as best as possible. He knew we were a live band and we play out, so we wanted to make sure it sounded as close to that sound as possible. So it was the most comfortable experience we've ever had for being the most nervous going in.
You say that, but like... I would assume you guys are paying for the studio time. You're paying. He's not the boss, right? I mean, you guys, at the end of the day, do what you want to do with the respect you have for him.
True. But you don't bring in somebody like that at that caliber without knowing that their footprint, their fingerprint should be on it somewhere if they want to. And we were willing. We had done 5 or 6 albums before that, so we knew how that worked. We've done all these on our own. We've produced our own. And this was something different. And we were ready to allow that process to happen if it did. But it didn't. It was once he picked us up from the airport in his truck and just, you know, he was the most normal dude. You know, so it was like immediately you're just like, okay,
you knew you were going to like
it. We're going to work.
Here's the album.
Yeah.
Eric was nice enough to bring in a copy of this is the Mascot Theory new album, Every Sign of Life. And there's some great songs on this. I love that you guys put these on your website, too. The songs are there so people can check them out.
A lot of videos. Yeah.
And a lot of videos. Yeah, that's what I meant. Actually, it's videos. And you have Fast Car Getaway on there, which is one of my all-time favorites. So that was fun. Can you, we have a time thing with performing. Do you mind belting out a new tune or another tune before we have to take a break at 7:49?
7:49.
Yeah. All right, but cool. You do what you do. If we have to play into break, that's fine. You don't worry about that. I'll worry about that.
All right, this is a song called Sliver of a Maybe on that new
one. All right, this is Eric Chellin from Mascot Theory.
Back in school, I liked a redhead girl when I was just a kid. And I wrote that girl a letter, cause that's what young boys did. You said you and I could talk for hours, yeah. We could take it slow. Don't need to waste your pencil, but don't circle yes or no. Just a sliver. Oh yeah, of a maybe. Yeah, that's all I'm asking for. Yeah, that's all I'm asking for.
I just messed up that second. Did you hear that?
I just thought it sounded
I know.
Cool.
I was like, can I scat through this whole thing or not? No, I'm not going to do that.
If you would have said anything, I would not have known.
But I was like, nope, I'm going to
do whatever you got
to
do.
Off a message to a friend who passed away. Said my friend was getting updates from the place his body lay. I don't think it means I'm crazy if I try to reach a ghost. Modern communication and a little touch of hope. Just a sliver.
Eric Chellin, you got it together, man. That was awesome.
You know, it's good.
I don't know how you do the harmonica and the guitar. I think you have to be like a contortionist or something. But we'll have we'll have a few minutes more with Eric after a very quick break. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
No one lives forever. There's business here you've got to finish. You won't make your mind up.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with a spooky edition of your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm talking about a killer. A slow, steady, silent killer of your money. Most horror stories wait till the third act to reveal the monster, but let's just get it over with. Today, I'm talking about procrastination. Yep, thinking you can wait to invest or save money is one of the worst things you can do to it or for it or about it. I mean, look, we all put things off. But every year we wait to get started with investing and saving is a huge cost to our long-term financial plans. Because with a little effort, which I know can be hard, and a little help, you can take control of your money and even keep away procrastination, the silent money killer. This is Carrie Joy saying, be safe out there and take good care.
Wisconsin has many state symbols, but did you know there's an official ballad?
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams.
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams, composed by Sherry Sarazin.
I don't think it was an hour, and I had the music matched up.
With long-ago help from her grandmother.
She wrote a poem in the late 1920s about where she lived in Wisconsin.
And it's now the state ballad. So are these also official Wisconsin symbols? The Kringle, Wood Violet, American Water Spaniel? The answer coming up. The official process can take years and includes advocating the legislature to make it law. Now, along with the official ballad, are the Kringle, Wood Violet, and American Water Spaniel also state symbols? Yes, each is a celebration of the state and a slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Big day tomorrow. We're almost through it. Zach from Sun Prairie says, I'm sorry. I already read that. Kamala 2024. Okay. From the 920. I voted. 608. Already voted. Thanks anyway. Go Kamala go. 262. Voted red to save our country. 608. Steady Eddie says, Pete, to get away from the anxiety of the election, I am spending my time exploring ideas for new gelato flavors for next spring. Someone has to. One idea for a flavor is Steady Eddie's Paschetti, a special treat for the kiddos. A unique combination of vanilla gelato with swirls of spicy red pasta sauce and chunks of garlic and oregano. Buy it for your kids as their first ice cream experience, and they will never pester you for ice cream again. Eddie sounds like a very good father. Another flavor, peach guava, named for a guy after bar time pronounces peach schwaba. Thank you, Eddie. I always... that was my lifelong goal. There we have gelato named after me. No worries. I will keep thinking and invent a gelato flavor for Conrad. You guys got any ideas? Steady, Hellfast Eddie. Or maybe he meant hold fast, but Hellfast works too. Andrew from Verona says he's been getting away from the election with booze and weed. Well, that'll do it. Bridget from the 818 says, I already voted. If you haven't voted, please vote. 801, I don't know. That's a new texter, I think, says already voted for Trump. Jim from Appleton says, already voted. I try to keep my mind off the election by enjoying a great radio show called Nightlight. Always entertaining, usually funny. I'll take that. I'll take that, Jim. Thank you. Chris from the 608, we know this guy. He says he's helping produce the show tonight, and he does so much here at Civic Media. He says, I've been a fan of the Mascot Theory for years and have also had the privilege of mastering several of Beth. How do you say her last name again?
Killy.
Beth Killy's albums. Amazing music. Nice. Yeah, who knew? He's sitting right on the other side of the glass. That's great. Matt from Germantown says, I keep my mind off the election by worrying about the election. Join the club, Matt. Thank you all for the text. Those were great. You guys were fantastic tonight. I'd like to thank all my guests, John Legend, John Grise, Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite. He'll be here in Madison Saturday. And TV writer extraordinaire Mike Rowe. And helping me close out the show here is Alec, I'm reading the text. Eric Chellen from The Mascot Theory, who played some awesome songs. You wanted to talk about Flannel Fest again.
Yeah, just to let everybody know that if you're interested in more information or want to pick up tickets, flannelfest.com is the place to be.
Do you guys get a lot of comparison? It's interesting. This Terry Manning supposedly did produce Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
Your sound, you remind me a lot of the Black Crowes. Do you get that?
No, not really. Well, I mean, there's that this new album is kind of classic rock.
Okay.
If Black Crowes is classic rock, I've got air quotes here, because I guess we're classic rock now, like the music of our childhood. But I think a lot of that Tom Petty, those kind of artists that are just that rock and roll sound, you know.
Yeah.
And they're like one of the most amazing. Fun fact, while we were recording, Chris Robinson from the Black Crowes was there.
Whoa.
He actually gave me these harmonicas. No lie.
Wow, no
kidding.
Yeah,
he was there producing a record next door with another band at another studio right next to us. And we hung out with him pretty much the whole time. Yeah.
Was he the singer or the brother that played? Because they were brothers.
Chris was the singer.
Okay.
Yeah,
wow.
He's the dude. And he had up this box of harmonicas. I'm like, shoot, I didn't bring any harmonicas with me. And we were chatting and I was like, can I borrow one of those? He's like, take whatever you want.
Oh, my God.
So I took a couple and put them on the album. And yeah, there you go. We're basically best friends now.
Because you've swapped spit through a harmonica.
Synchronous spit. Yes.
Okay. Where can people see you guys live, Eric?
The next one would be Flannel Fest. That'd be the first. That's actually probably going to be the last ones of the year, I think. We tend to take some time off around this time so that we can really focus on making sure we get tickets sold and get as much money as we can raise for the charity. So that's probably going to be our last one for the year. And then we're going to start working on a new album. I think that's our next plan. So we'll probably sprinkle some shows in just maybe locally, probably up in Appleton. That's like our second home as well, like up there to play. And we love the Mile of Music Festival and all of that. And so
do you have favorite places in Madison, spots that you typically play?
Yeah, we've played, a lot of different places, and there's a lot of places. We'd love to play the Sylvie at some point. Whatever the biggest thing is, we'd love to do it.
Sure.
But we played at the High Noon and a lot of different places around, and it's a good town for local music, for sure.
Is Wisconsin, is the music industry healthy here? It seems like there's a lot of bands here I never knew about. Like, I feel like there's a great music scene here, but you would know, obviously,
there's
better than me.
There's great musicians. There's great music. There's not as much of an industry, which makes it, compared to Nashville or LA or something, which makes it a little harder, or even Chicago. It's not a huge, huge, huge city where you can just really know that you're going to have a record exec walk across the street and hear you playing out live somewhere. You know, it's just that probably isn't going to happen around here. But from a local standpoint, there's so much music and so many good, and really across the state. You know, there's so many amazing musicians in Milwaukee and the Appleton area and just all over the place.
And is it like, are the bands supportive of each other? Is there a rivalry or a competition, or is everybody pretty supportive typically?
I mean, I think if you want to do well, you support everybody.
Yeah.
You really, and that's a project that I had worked on years ago called Wisconsin Vinyl Collective, where I pulled together songs from artists that either had Wisconsin ties or in Wisconsin, like in Butch Vig Garbage was the person that I worked on that with. So he and I kind of worked on curating it and pulling bands from all areas of the state, just making sure that we were hitting everybody. And it was so much fun because you're getting these bands that you've never heard before. And it is a networking thing, but it's also a sharing of, hey, you may not have gone up to Stevens Point, but there's some cool bands up there.
Yeah,
you're
right.
From Madison, but check out this band from Milwaukee or Appleton. And that's a fun way to do it to me.
Absolutely. Well, this has been really fun. I can't
thank
you
enough
for coming in tonight. It's been great to meet you in person, Eric, and thank you for spending some time here on Night Live tonight.
I loved it. Anytime.
Yeah, thank you to all of our guests. Thank you to Chris Casper for helping us out tonight, the biggest fan of Mascot Theory right there. And your text, it's almost over, folks. Every night we try to take your mind off the day here at Nightlight. Thank you for sticking with us through this. I hope we were able to make you think about or forget about the election for a little while, and things hopefully will go back to normal. Well, off tomorrow night. I'm doing some election coverage here at Civic Media from 6 to 8. We'll be back Wednesday night live. You want to play us out, Eric?
Sure.
All right. Good night, Wisconsin.
I woke up on the wrong side of the tracks again. Then I mixed up all my signals, somehow lost.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, it is here. It is election day. Dan Schaefer will be here from the recombobulation area. Make sure you go to votes. Make sure you join us.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Did you get Norske Nook pie for breakfast? Mr. Buck, I don't see any raspberry cream cheese pie over by you, so point for me. Good morning, Mr. Buck.
Sometimes you're just incredibly mean.
Can we be happy for the fact that Todd Alba is delivering pies? Don't we have the best coworkers here?
Oh, yeah, great. With you literally rubbing pie in my face.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls. W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. This is Election.